We desire your prayers this morning. I'm glad to be here. How about you? Thank the Lord for the Myrtle Camp meeting. Been coming here a long time. Some of you may not know who this old fellow is. Name's Carl Schaefer. I reside in a halfway, well, not quite halfway, between Shawnee and Meeker, Oklahoma. My home address is Meeker. But we love it there. But there's a lot of places we like to go to in the gospel work, especially since we do some evangelizing. We need your prayers desperately. I have a burden. I've had this for several days. It's gotten so heavy this morning that I couldn't hardly even pray. My mind kept going back to my burden. I don't know if other preachers have had that problem or not, but I do once in a while when the burden gets heavy enough. The songs, not every one of them, but the last from about 377 was called On Till Now. It's hooked right into what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about heaven, but what I really want to talk about is how we get to heaven. The steps to get to heaven. There's a lot of people say, well, you can do this, you can do that. And you can do this, you can do that. But the bottom line is there is a biblical way to get to heaven. And it's God's way. It's his only way. And you and I will not get there unless we follow that way. You've got to follow from A to Z the outline that's in the Word of God for you and I to be able to get to the place where we want to go. Now then, how many this morning want to go to heaven? Come on, raise your hands. How many want to go to heaven? Most of us do. But the bottom line is, are you willing to do what it takes to get there? Now, Brother Tony indicated he wanted to go. And Brother Ed Wilson uses this statement here, said, I'm desperate to get to heaven. Now, when you say you're desperate to get to heaven, what does that mean? He's willing to do anything it takes to get there. Now, what about you and I? Are we willing to follow the Word of God? Or we want to sidestep it a little bit and try to do what we want to do? The Bible said this is the way you must go. This is the route. It said there's only one way to the pearly gate. Listen, there's only one way to heaven, and that's the Bible way. It's not the way that preachers preach, and what I mean by that, people that are not preaching the truth, they get up and they preach, and I'm not talking about us now. They get up there and say, well, you can do this and you can do that. No, we want to go the Bible way. If we want to be absolutely sure, if we want to have a no-so salvation, we got to do it the way the Lord wants us to do it. All right, let's open in Revelation. No, I want Proverbs 13:13 to back up what I'm saying right here. Proverbs 13:13. He said, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Whoso despiseth the word of God, God's commandments, God's desire, God's way, whosoever despiseth that, what does that mean? It means to contemn, to scorn, to disdain, to have lowest opinion of, to abhor. So today, the Word of God is set. You and I are not going to change it. God's not going to change it. It is the only thing that has been written as far as the law that has been so perfect that it's lasted from then till now. It's not changed before, and it's not going to change again. It's absolute. So again, if we're going to go to heaven, we must go the way the Bible tells us to go. So if you want to put a topic on, if you're writing any things down, the name of this would be Steps to Heaven. Revelation 21. And we'll start reading here about the 17th verse, 18th verse, I guess. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like in the clear glass. Foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third was chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardis, the sixth sardis, the seventh crestidite. I ain't pronounced all these right. The eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth copperas, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God and the Lamb of the temple are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings and the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be in no wise, now listen to this, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now then, the eighth verse, I believe, of this chapter said the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, heaven is a beautiful place. What's it like? I don't know. I know what it says here. I know what I've read about people that have gone there and come back and the way they described it. But the bottom line is, I want to go there. That's someplace I want to go. Now, you read about hell and fire. I don't care for fire except to keep me warm. Outside of that, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And if you was in a burning building, what would you do? You'd run for your life. If you could get out of there, you would do everything you could do to get out of there. So consequently, this morning, if you're not saved, I want to encourage you, it's time to get saved. It's time to make the move, make a step, the right step, the only step to get you to heaven. You want to go to heaven. You want to do that above all other things. No matter, it said gold streets and gold buildings and so forth. Well, I don't know that that's what it is, but the bottom line is Jesus is there and God is there and the Holy Ghost is going to be and the saints are going to be there and the glory of the singing and the light and the blessings and everything. Listen, folks, some of us here has had the glory of God come down and bless us and that was rich. That's just a minor touch of what heaven's going to be like. My body one time, I've had the glory of God surreal. I thought I would explode. I couldn't handle it. He can only give us so much. But when he gives us the glorified body, when we're resurrected, when we go to heaven, when we're there with him, we can have a body, praise God, that'll handle all that glory. Do you want to go to heaven this morning? Acts, the 7th chapter. It's a beautiful place. A man in the Bible looked up and he saw Jesus standing. Stephen, remember the story, 54 of 7th chapter of Acts? And he said here, when they heard these sayings, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now then, said he, looking up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw Jesus. Well, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand. That would be something. I saw in a vision Christ. many years ago, 1985, in Oregon. The end of an ordinance service, and I was standing there, and we were singing the last song, we're fixed to wrap everything up, and Jesus appeared to me in a vision. And he pointed to me, and he spoke to me. He said, "I died for you, child." Listen, I couldn't tell you what he looked like. That was obscure. But the bottom line is, he said, "I died for you." He died for every one of us individually in this building. He wants you to go to heaven worse than you do. Some people say, "Well, I'm going to get there someday. I'm just going to have a good time," and so forth. The bottom line is, folks, we need to have a know-so salvation whereby that we know where we're going. We know what we're doing. We've got God, and we've got the peace of God, and we're going to go there. We want to go to heaven. But he wants us to go worse than we do. But he wants to help us get there. All right, let's go to John 6 and 44. And you pray for us. John 6 and 44. I want what the Lord wants this morning. He gave me a message, but I want the Lord to lead, guide, and direct. And you pray. "No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day." 16th chapter of John, and I think it's the 7th verse. I want here 16 and 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." Now, if you and I are going to go to heaven, we've got to have an invite to get there. We've got to be dealt with. A man told me one time, many years ago, I was doing a floor in a building and buffing and polishing and working there, and he was over here on my right and looked over there, and he had a Bible. Well, I made a statement. I went down, and it's coming back. I said, "You're reading a good book there." "Yes." And he looked at me and he said, "Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And I told him, "Well, the Lord saved me and sanctified me," whatever I said, don't remember everything. And I got to thinking about that, except the religious world wants you to accept the Lord Jesus. It's more than that, folks. Amen. It's more than us accepting the Lord. He's got to accept you. And that acceptance comes by a call, conviction, a dealing of the working of the Spirit of God with our soul, helping us to know that we're sinners, that we're lost, or that we need help. We need to get closer to God. We need him to work with us. We can't get there except we're called, praise God. The Holy Ghost was sent to condemn, to deal and convict and stir everyone of sin. Sin is sin. It's exceeding sinful.
Yes.
People want to whitewash it. They want to sugarcoat it. They want to do all these things. But folks, sin is still sin. And you can't cover up sin. "He that covereth up sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy." This morning, if we want to go to heaven, we got to quit the sin business. We've got to give it up. We've got to run from it. We've got to do whatever the Lord wants us to do, biblically speaking, to be able to have him, praise God.
Yes.
Well, I got to thinking about this acceptance business. And I thought, now, if I took a resume and I filled it out and I took it to different businesses and give it to them and they read it over, but they never called me, they never hired me, I would not get one red cent. Now, I accepted that company. I'm going to go to work for them. That's General Motors, and I'm going to work there. My daddy wanted me to go to work for General Motors. And I said no, and I told him why. But listen, and I don't have nothing against General Motors, folks. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he said, "I'm a General Motors man." Well, I don't have anything against General Motors. That's not what I said. Mine was totally spiritual. But the bottom line is, you can accept that company all you want to, but you will not get one paycheck, one red cent out of that company unless they hire you. Listen, folks, if Jesus Christ did not accept us, if he does not take us and cleanse us and wash us and bring us up and out and put our feet on a solid rock, Jesus Christ, we're not going to heaven. Amen. It takes Jesus. We're not going to get to heaven without Jesus, folks. That is the bottom line. We've got to have the Savior. We've got to have his help. All right, let's go to Matthew, the 11th chapter. One of the most familiar scriptures, I guess, in the Bible, 11 and 28, said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Today, come. Listen, folks, it said many are called, but few are chosen. Do you know why few are chosen? You think about that a minute. Why are few chosen? Everybody's called. I believe that the Lord, everybody that is born into this world, at some point in their life, Jesus gives them a call. Normally, it's more than one time, but he does give them a call. He does work with them. He does convict them. He does stir them. He gives them a chance to go to heaven. He's the only one that can do that, praise God. Give them a call. Come unto me. But does that scripture only rest for sinners? No. It's a universal call to everybody. He says, come unto me. Come unto me. Many are called, but few are chosen. And the reason few are chosen is not because of Jesus. It's because of them. They choose not to go the Bible way. We've already heard about choices in this meeting. We heard about the wrath of God last night and the working of the Spirit of God. But the Bible this morning is wanting us to get a biblical picture of how the Lord is calling, come unto me. Are you responding? How many of you are responding this morning to that call? Come unto me. Listen, you're late. You're heavy laden. The devil, no, the Lord did not mean for you to be a pack mule for sin. He did not mean for you to be a pack mule of all kind of troubles and trials and tribulations. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to cast thy burden upon the Lord. He wants you to give him every sin. He wants to wash everything away, praise God, and take it away. And you can have liberty and freedom. Like the brother said, that burden was gone, praise God. That heavy load rolled off. I've heard that many times in the years I've lived for God, of ministers and saints. I was laying down. Listen, folks, there's a way to get rid of that burden, and it comes by Jesus Christ.
Right.
He wants to take it away.
Right.
Come unto me.
Yes.
Come unto me. He's not telling you to go anywhere but to him.
Right.
The one that can do what nobody else can do for you. He told blind Bartimaeus, what will thou that I should do unto thee? I want to help you, children. I want to take you to heaven. Listen, he wants you to go to heaven so bad. I want you this morning to get a vision, an understanding by the Word of God, how to get there. And I'd like to spark something in you that make you, help you to say, I want to get there. I want to get there worse than anything else. I'm desperate this morning to make heaven my home. Because the Lord died. He paid a horrible debt. He paid a horrible price to take you to heaven. Come unto me. There's rich man can help us. There's doctors can possibly help you. There is lawyers that can help you. There is maybe friends that can help you. But they can only do so much so far. Jesus said, I can help you. Come unto me. This morning, are you responding in this meeting? Is the Lord dealing with you with any specific thing, calling after you and dealing? Let's get it down to the brass tack, folks. Let's not cover anything up. Let's say, I need help. Listen, what would you do if you knew you was going to die tomorrow? What would you do today if you knew you wasn't ready to go to heaven? What would you do? Do you know there's people laying right now in COVID? Sister Sherry Rich talked to me in California about her situation. She said that she was drifting in and out. Times she didn't know anything. They scooped her up and they took her to the hospital. Children called the ambulance and said, go get mama and take her. And they did. And she come to and up at one point. And well, the doctors told her when she's still at home, they were begging her to come and she was refusing at that point. But then she went out and the children took over. And a doctor told her, said, ma'am, you're either going to die tonight or in the morning. Now, I got news for you. I've been at the bedside of a number of people that's died through the years. And I have predicted sometime when people would die and when they wouldn't. And I missed it, and doctors miss it too. Hospice misses it. But the bottom line was, she was in bad shape. Her breathing was affected. And she was in trouble. So they took her to the hospital. And she come to enough, and they said, if need be, do we want to put a ventilator on? Do you want us to put a ventilator on you? She goes, no. said, doesn't that, isn't that bad? That's not good. Put a ventilator. That's right. Said, well, I don't want a ventilator. Okay. We'll sign you a deal. Said, do not resuscitate. If you die, you die. But the Lord went in that hospital with Sister Jerry. And he started working. At one time, a few days, I don't remember just when or if she even said, but at one point, she was needing some help. Or, well, the Lord was blessing her. And she was about half at herself. She could hear people talking. And they were two nurses. And they said, this shouldn't be. And this shouldn't be. And how's this and how's that? Why, I've never seen anything like it. They didn't know what was going on. Sister Sherry sitting there smiling to herself. I know, it's him. It's him, praise God. Listen, the Lord can help us in our bodies. But listen, folks, he is the only one that can help you in your soul. They said they didn't do much for her. They stuck her back in the room, seemed like in the back 40, and they hardly even spent any time with her. But Jesus was there, praise God. Listen, folks, you need Jesus above all other things. Whether you're saved, sanctified, you're sick, whatever your condition, you're a sinner, you need the Lord, and you need him every day, praise God. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. He wants to give you rest this morning. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you something that maybe you've never had. The Lord loves you this morning.
That's right.
Right up there in that building, in that chapel in 1983, in November about the 18th, 19th, was a funeral. It was my sister-in-law, Eva Lou, the oldest of the family. And she had died. I was sitting right over here by, at that time, Rebecca Ann. And I had a small part in the funeral. Brother Curtis Sr. had a part in the funeral. Sister Eck had the main part. And I was sitting there. And all of a sudden, I seen a vision. And in this vision was Eva Lou, and she was standing like on a balcony type deal that was like this. It was black. Painted black, but she was in the most gorgeous white. It was radiant white, and I knew who it was. I knew exactly when I looked up there. I was transfixed at this vision that I was having of my sister-in-law. And you know what she was doing? She was going like this. What do you think she made it? Come on, go to me with heaven. I've made it, praise God. Well, as we was walking over there to the cemetery, I told Rebecca what I'd seen. We got to the cemetery, and Brother Curtis Sr., he said the exact same thing that I had told her. He's seen it too. I don't know about anybody else. Listen, folks, this morning, Eva Lou's still waving. Come on and go to heaven. There's thousands of people are still waving. Come on. Come to heaven. Praise God. If you could get all of heaven down here, they would tell you, come. Come, come. If you could get people from hell here, they would say, run. They would say, get saved. They would say, don't do what you're doing. They would say, do whatever you need to do to get to the place where Jesus will deliver you. Come. All right, let's go to Proverbs, the 8th chapter, 34th verse. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Brother Michael mentioned some of this last night, not the verses I've got, but he mentioned about listening. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates and waiting at the post of my door. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And they that hate me love death. Now then, he said here, blessed is the man that heareth me. All right, somebody get me James 4 and 10. Brother Ivan, get me James 4 and 10. Brother Michael, get me 1 Peter. No. Wait a minute. Brother Ivan, get me James 1 and 19. I'll get 15 of Proverbs. 15 of Proverbs and the 31st verse. 15 and 31 of Proverbs. He said, the ear that heareth the reproof of wise, the reproof of life abideth among the wise. And he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The ear that heareth the reproof of life. All right, do you have there James 1 and 19?
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
Swift to hear, that's what I want, thank you. Swift to hear. He said, the ear that heareth the reproof of life. Listen, it gets down to the bottom line that the Lord is going to have to reprove us to get our attention.
Yes.
When he starts convicting and dealing, part of it is reproof. He lets you know, like I said, the Holy Ghost works with you. He lets you know what you're doing is wrong. At least he did me. I was sitting there one morning at the breakfast table. Mom on one end, I'm the oldest, I was on the other, and the other four siblings in between. And I was sitting there and tears were streaming down my face. And Mama looked at me and she said, what's wrong with you, son? What's your problem? I was under conviction. God was dealing with my soul. And that's kind of an odd place to sit there and cry. But I was crying at the dinner table, so to speak. God was dealing with me. Thank the Lord for every meeting of the Spirit of God with our soul. Yes. Praise God. This morning, I don't care if you're saved or unsaved. If God deals with you, you ought to shout and you better listen. Now then, my hearing has failed since I was in college. Gradually, it's gone down. Till I finally got to the place. Well, I tried some hearing aids here. Yeah, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I guess. I didn't like them. So I pitched them, so to speak. Lost my little bit of money I put into them. And I was on the computer early on a Sunday morning looking at something. Sometimes I study in the night. I ain't awake on Saturday night's my worst night usually. And a lot of times I'm in there studying and praying. And I was in there and happened to see a deal, the 10 best hearing aids in the country. Well, that piqued my interest, so I started looking. And I bought some. And it's helping. I couldn't tell who was talking until I raised the volume on my hearing aids, and I thought, that's Brother Tony. And even in the preaching sometimes, depending on how loud we are, I will raise it up or down. I control it by my phone. But listen, folks, I'm interested in hearing, aren't you?
Yeah.
If you was walking somewhere and I had $1 million to give you, and you was walking and I go, Brother John, and you just kept walking, and I called again, Brother John, and you just kept walking, and you went on down the way, and then I saw you later and said, well, I had a gift for you. Oh, you did? I said, but you didn't listen to me. You didn't hear me. Listen, folks, we want to tune our ears to hear the still, small voice. Sometimes he don't blast us, so to speak. He just speaks in still, small tones. We want to listen, folks. We want to listen. Hear that he that heareth me, slow to speak, swift to hear. The Lord wants us to be real keen on listening to what the Lord has to say to us. That's why a meeting is so important. Anoint the ears and the hearts of every one of us to hear what God has to say. It may not be a loud, boisterous preacher in a pulpit, but the bottom line, our duty is to listen. It's to open our ears up and listen to what God has to say. Well, there was a rich man, actor. I can think of his name. George Clooney. Clooney. He called, I believe it was, 15 of his best friends, or 14. He went to the bank and he got $1 million for each one of them. He put it in a briefcase, brand new briefcase. He brought it to the house. Him and his wife, which is a lawyer, they called these 14 people and they said, we want you to come have a steak dinner with us tonight. Now that would have got my interest right there. Forget the money, so to speak. Just, you got steak dinner? I've been all ears. The Lord's got some steaks around here, folks. Amen. He's got some steaks for you and I, and he wants to feed us.
Yes.
Well, he got the people at the house. He fed them. They said, now I want us to all go in the living room. So they all went in, and he had these briefcases in a corner, and he went and got one, and handed it here, and got another, and handed it here. After they all had their briefcase in their hand, he said, now I want you to open that briefcase. And they opened up, and to their horror, no, not their horror, to their delight, with stacks of $100 bills, $100 bills, and $100 bills. He said, I want to give every one of you $1 million. Think about that. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? I could use $1 million for the Lord. I could do some more giving than what I'm able to give if I had $1 million. My, Molly and I can buy what we're talking about, buy what paid for to buy. We get that motor home or that travel trailer to pick up. We could go tooling around the country in that and have a place to stay. Everywhere wouldn't have to bother nobody like Brother Harlan or like Brother DeMar. Where can you put me? $1 million. Listen, folks, the Lord's got way more than $1 million for us. And he's got it right here for you this morning. He's got heaven for you. He's got a dining table. What does he say in the scripture? Or is it John or Luke 21 and 12? He said, come and dine. Yeah. He told them, come and dine. Listen, folks, this is the richest place. I used to have a king. His name was Elvis Presley. I used to listen to this man and love his singing. And he died. In 1971, he died, I think, in 77. In 1971, I met the real king, praise God. I pursued King Elvis, and I took this king, and I got news for him. He came looking for me. Elvis Presley never did look this old boy up. He never gave me an invite. He never called me or anything. My wife has seen him face to face. My wife has been on the property there in Memphis and saw him. He come out. But I'm going to tell you, I never got that. But bless God, Jesus come along in 1971. He started dealing.
Yes.
And I started listing. You know, one of the last things he told me before I got saved, I wanted to be a rich man. I was setting my eyesight that away, making my moves to be a millionaire. And he came to me that night, and he knew riches was a problem to me. And he said, son, he said, you can be ever so rich, but I can take them away in a moment's time. Listen, folks, God can do anything with us he wants to. And the best thing to do is be in his corner. Be with him. Serve him and live for him. Are you listening this morning? Are you hearing the messages of this meeting? We're here. This is a short meeting. And you need to take advantage. You need to listen real carefully. Come unto me. If you got a burden this morning, bring it to the Lord. You know, people say, well, I can handle it. Can you? You hadn't handled it so far. The Lord wants to help you. He wants you to help. He wants to help you this morning. All right, so you got to listen. You've got to come. When the Lord says come, you got to come. You've got to respond by listening to the Lord. Now then, let's go to one of the most definite things. I want Isaiah 57 and 15. All right, now then, Brother Ivan and Brother Michael, get me James 4 and 10 and 1 Peter 5 and 5. Isaiah, for the rest of you, 57 and 15. One of my favorite scriptures on this line that I'm fixing to talk about. He said here, for thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. All right, give me James 4 and 10.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
And he shall lift you up.
And he'll lift you up. All right, Brother Michael, 1 Peter 5 and 5. Be clothed with humility.
For God resisteth the proud.
He resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humility is one of the greatest keynotes to getting saved.
Yes.
Probably the, in a sense. Because you and I have got to get to the place that we're willing to humble.
Yes.
To get down before God. I tell you, pride is something that's going to destroy thousands and thousands of people because they do not want to admit that they're wrong. They don't want to admit they're on the wrong way. They don't want to admit that they need help. They're saying, well, I've been drinking a little bit for years, and I'm not a drunkard yet. The bottom line is you can be a drunkard. Listen, don't play with the devil, young people. Don't allow him to get you started in something, smoking, drinking, drugs, gambling, whatever it might be. Well, I can do this, and I'll be all right. They've been thousands of people said that, and today they died in a devil's grave, so to speak, because that thing that they done just a little bit, got to increasing more and more. It's in the house of one of my customers many years ago. He was my lawyer. She was my boss, so to speak. His wife owned the real estate business, and I cleaned their home and their business both. But Clyde told me he had some liquor bottles up in a cabinet up here. And they was getting ready for a party, and he pulled this one bottle of it was a Kentucky bourbon, I think. And he pulled it out, and he showed it to me. He said, Carl, he said, I have to be real careful with this. He said, I like this stuff. He said, I have to handle it very gently, because if I don't, I'll drink too much. Listen, Clyde was a good man. But the bottom line is, alcohol, he said, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived their body is not wise. Right. I'm going to tell you, alcohol in any form is condemned in the Word of God. God does not want us having anything to do with wine. He don't have anything to do with that. And some people said, I can handle it. No, you can't. When the devil's behind anything, you can't handle it, because he's powerful than you are. And when he's got you wrapped in chains, he can lead you like a bull with a ring in your nose, and he can lead you anywhere he wants you to go, and you can't stop him. Today, humility is a way for anything that needs to be done among the church and among souls.
Yes.
Humility will get us out of problems. It'll get us ready to go to heaven. It will be a blessing far beyond anything you can ask or think. You just got to humble.
Right.
One time I had made a mistake with another brother. I was down praying. I was there by myself, and I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you made a mistake too, child. And I went like this. I was on my knees. I looked up through both hands. I said, who, me? I didn't make no mistake. I didn't do that. Yes, you did. And he started dealing with my soul. The more he dealt, the humbler I got. When he got through with the Word and the Spirit, I said, yes, sir, I'll do whatever you want to do. That's what we got to do. When the Lord starts dealing with us, we're going to have to humble down and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. You can take Genesis all the way to Revelation. You can listen to the preachers. You can listen to the prophets. You can listen to the kings. Those that humbled is the ones that God blessed, praise God. Those that admitted they were wrong. Those that admitted, listen, I need help. Listen, folks, people don't want to admit they need help. They want to cover it up. Why was it? But I'm going to tell you, the Lord wants you to humble to the very bottom and said, it's me, O Lord, that's standing in need of prayer. I need you to help me. And we won't get it till we get to the bottom. The Lord gave me a message one time. I think I preached it one time. We're riding to Louisiana. Some of you here heard it. How low will you go? How low will you go? I'm going to tell you, that people don't want to get down there. They don't want to get down there. They don't want to admit that's me. They want to think, I'm better than that. I'm of this family or that family. That don't make no difference in the eyes of God. What makes a difference is, Lord, have mercy on my soul. Brother Sammons, he prayed and he prayed, if I remember the story right. And he wasn't getting in there. And finally, if I remember right, he said, Lord, if you can do anything for me, have mercy on my soul. And when he humbled and he done that, praise God, he got the victory. And you know the rest of the story. The Lord blessed him and used him. He had to humble during his ministry. I've seen him get up before a whole crowd in Monarch and admit a mistake that he made at Guthrie some months before. I've seen different ministers lying. That got up and said, well, I shouldn't have said this or shouldn't have said that. I've done it when my congregations made mistakes. I've done it one time at Holly Hill. I made a mistake and I thought you should have not said that. You shouldn't have done it that way. I called every member in the congregation. And one fellow told his wife, he said, if Brother Carl is what I think he is, he'll be calling us, he'll be confessing, I shouldn't have done it that way. Listen, folks, you're going to have to get out as low as you need to go. Get down there, a stream, didn't it say? A bed that is lowly, that's where the stream flows, praise God. The lowest point, today, how willing, or how low are you willing to go to get salvation? salvation, to get victory, to have whatever you need this morning. The Lord wants you to get out. Listen, folks, we're not God. We're not Jesus. We're not the Holy Ghost. We're just a little old human being, and He created us. And we need Him. He don't need us, really. We need Him. We've got to have Him, and to get Him is humble your hearts. Get on down there. Be clothed with humility. Constant life of humility.
Amen.
Oh, today, He giveth grace unto the humble. He giveth grace unto the humble. If you want a blessing this morning, get on down there, praise God. If you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to humble your heart and say, this is me, oh Lord. I'm lost. I'm undone. I made a failure. I made a mess. And I need a good dose of salvation. Have mercy on me. That's a good place to start right there. That's a good place to start. You're going to have to humble down all through your experience. You're going to have to ask forgiveness of people, your wife, your children, your husband. You're going to make mistakes. And I'm not talking about sin here. Rebecca used to tell me, you're speaking sharp, Carl. I'd look at her. I said, I'm not speaking sharp. What are you talking about? You're speaking sharp to me. Well, that was hard for me to admit. It was hard for me to admit I speak sharp. I didn't think I was speaking sharp at all. Well, I didn't tell you the same thing. I spoke a few times. And there's times I could see it, but there's times I couldn't. We need to look at ourselves and say, hey, there could be something to that. Lord, help me. Help me to get down here. Lord, help us this morning to get down just as low as we need to go. Flat out if we have to. Brother Hargreaves used to say, there need to be people that are riding up in a chariot wanting some help. They need to be slithering to the office like a snake. Get down to the altar. Slither down there. Get as low as you need to go. Get God to bless your soul. Praise the Lord. Oh, this morning, steps to heaven. Humility is a great step right there. You got to do it. There ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about this. You've got to do this. Let's go to Mark 1 and 15. Here's another absolute. Mark 1 and 15 says, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And then Luke, the 13th chapter and the first verse. Luke 13 and 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said to them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent. Now see, the Lord just flipped this around on them. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Of those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, thank you that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. The time of salvation, the time of the kingdom. He's saying it's here now. This is what we must do. Now, John was preaching repentance before Jesus come on the scene as far as working actively. He was preaching, repent ye and believe the gospel. And here and now Jesus is saying, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and said, the time is fulfilled. I'm here. I am the man that's been prophesied for many, many years. And the kingdom of God is here. But to get that, you must repent. You must believe. It's not just total repentance. You've got to repent. You've got to confess. You've got to be willing to forsake. But the bottom line is repent ye and believe. You've got to have faith, praise God. You've got to have faith like I was preaching the other night that the brother talked about. You've got to have faith that the Lord hears you and accepts you. But you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to be sorry of the sins that you've done or the things, whatever it might be. And you're going to be willing to make a bow turn and walk away from that thing and not do it again. Repentance is something that needs to be preached in every church in the land. You don't hear much of it. And it's preached in our pulpit some, but repentance is something that people need to come to the understanding of. It's just not accept the Lord Jesus. It's not bake the pastor a cake. It's not put your name on the church book. The bottom line is, to get to heaven, you're going to have to repent.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolute. I tell you, nay. He said, nay. He said there, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent. This is getting down. He's saying those that are saying, well, this and this and this and this. No. No, except ye repent. He brought it right back to them. In other words, they wanted to cast light on these people over here. Somebody would say, well, he needs to do it, and she needs to do it. Listen, folks, let's get this down to I need to do it. Let's not look at the other people in this building. I don't know how well you know other people in this building. I may not know everybody that's here, but the bottom line is, it's me, O Lord. Let's say I'm the one that needs to repent. If you're going to heaven, you got to repent. Ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. You've got to repent. The Lord wants that. He demands that. That's Bible. You must repent. And you know what's wrong with the gospel world today? It's because they're not repentant. They're just accepting the Lord, but they've not repented. They weren't sorry for their sins. They haven't repented and admitted anything or done anything. They just, well, I accept you as the Lord Savior of my life, and they go on their way, and there's not one bit of change. To bring a change, folks, there's got to be a repentance, because we got to say, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me of this and this and this and this. Cry it out. Lord, have mercy on my soul and forgive me of the sins I'm doing, and I'm not going to do them again. Yes. Now, that'll bring Jesus Christ inside. You'll not get to heaven without him living in here. You'll not get to heaven without him blessing you, raising you up and out, setting your feet on a solid rock, and establish your God and make a new person out of you, praise God. One that can shout and praise God and enjoy life with peace and joy that you didn't have before because you've done it right, praise God. I'm preaching the right way this morning by the grace of God and by the word of God. I want to see everyone in here go to heaven. I've given my life to this cause. Nearly 50 years I've been saved. And I'm thankful for every day I've lived for God.
Thank the Lord.
Every day.
Yes.
It's been a blessing. I've had my trials. I've had my battles. But thank God he met me in my bedside there when I said, Lord, have mercy. I don't even remember what I said. It's been nearly 50 years ago. But I know this. It was a change, man.
Yes.
It was a change. That old blind man said, well, I don't know about this, but one thing I know, once I'm blinded, now I see. He said, now then something's happened. Praise God. There's a difference here, folks. You're wanting to say this and wanting this done and so forth. There's a difference made, and that's all that counts, praise God. Listen, we want you raised up and out of a dead state of sin and want your feet on a solid rock and you to be able to see, praise God, with spiritual vision.
Yes.
That's what we're after this morning. We want people to be saved and sanctified and satisfied and blessed and shouting and praise God. One preacher said this one time. He was in a meeting, and it's been a number of years ago, and he said he was so blessed that he wanted to just jump up and shout. And he kept sitting there a minute. He couldn't stand it anymore. And he leaped up and he shouted, and he looked behind and said, there's a whole slew of the congregation doing that. How many of you have ever seen something like that? None of you hardly. I know of one meeting in Guthrie, Brother Michael, that there was a triangle of us. Three of us done that one night, but it wasn't the whole crowd. It was just three of us. Listen, the Lord likes people to praise God. He likes people to rejoice. He likes us to enjoy. Listen, there's no sense of being a quiet Christian. We need to be a born again, saved, sanctified, satisfied, and somebody's willing to say, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just throwing that in there. I didn't know I was going to say that. But Lord, help us today. He wants you to have an experience this morning of old time salvation by the Bible, whereby when you get on your deathbed, you don't have to lay there and repent and thank and consider and call the people in and so forth like many have done, but you can lay there and say, thank God. My daughter done everything she could do to get my wife to do something for her heart condition. And Rebecca said, all right. Said, That little pill that you and Kim talked about, if I was to take that, what would that do? She said, well, that might, Mama, give you 2 years of life. 2 years. She said, daughter, I've not taken a drop of medicine. I've taken no anacins and Aprim. I've taken no pills at all of my life. And the Lord has been my healer all through my life. And she said, if he wants me to live, I'll live. I'll live. I will live. Listen today. The Lord has got a better way. All right, let's move to Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. We're wrapping it up. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now it said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Now this is a part of getting to heaven. God usually doesn't deal with people. He will for a period of time, but then he will finally, you keep rejecting, he'll back off for a while. He might never deal with you again. There is no absolute that I know of in the scripture that says God's going to come along and deal with you over and over and over and over. Now he usually does, but it's not any way that I know of. The bottom line is, when he calls you, when he convicts you, when he says, come unto me, when you get to the place where you're willing to humble your heart, the Lord will meet you there. He said there, seek the Lord. Now then, I don't want to leave out one part here. Somebody said, well, Brother Carl, if I'm on my deathbed, and I don't really believe in death, well, I don't believe in deathbed repentance, but that's all they can get, I'll accept it. But some people want to wait and play all the way down until they're on their deathbed and then get saved. Listen, folks, there's no guarantee you can do that.
That's right.
It said, seek the Lord. There has been a time in people's lives sometimes, and I don't have any idea what the figure be or the percentage, but the bottom line is there had been people that have got into trouble and they started seeking the Lord and the Lord had mercy on them. But that don't mean he'll do it with you. So consequently, it said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, while he's working with you, dealing with you, while he's close to you. Make your move then. Don't wait till another time. Listen, you don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know how you're going to die. You don't know any of this. So the bottom line is this morning, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Have you ever gone looking for something that was lost? You couldn't find it. And then there's times that you, something said, oh, well, I'm missing something. And it was right there. It was real close. Found it real quick, real easy. I had a woman one time in the house, older woman. She was a jewel. Loved her in the Lord, so to speak. And she was a minister's wife. He was dead, and I was cleaning their home after he died. And she told me, said, Carl, said, I lost $600, six $100 bills. I don't know where they're at. Said, if you see it, let me know. Well, I started looking while I was cleaning. And I knew she's older, and I knew she's beginning to have a little touch of dementia. Knew that. And I thought, well, so you know where it was at? It was in the kitchen. It was easy. It was found. It was close by, so to speak. It wasn't out in the street or wasn't out in the car. It was in the house. And I was able to find it for her. The Lord's right here.
Yes.
He's right here this morning. He wants you. He's in a position where you can find him easily. Call ye upon him while he's near. And then it said, let the wicked forsake his way. That's the problem. The wicked don't want to forsake their way. They don't want to give it up. But it said, let the wicked forsake his way. The way of sin. The unrighteous things that he's doing. The sinful acts all down that he's doing day after day. Do you know there's a lot of people that get together, that commit some of their heinous crimes, and you know what they do? They get together and they plot it all out. Well, we're going to rob a certain bank, or we're going to do this or that. Some of them have broke into places that they, the people that owned it, or the companies that owned it, thought there's no way they could get in here. And they broke in there and been able to steal multitudes of money. But they planned that. It wasn't something that just happened. They planned it out. The Lord's got a plan. And this morning, right here, you're part of that plan. And his plan is, come unto me. All you that labor, I want to bless you. I want to help you, but you're going to have to forsake your way. You're going to have to give all the unrighteous things up that you're doing. The unrighteous man has thoughts. It's time for some different thoughts, different ideas, different plans. Think on the Bible. Think on the things of God. It said, think on these things. I tell you, I beat my throat so bad through the years that he and I have trouble once in a while. It said here, let him return unto the Lord. Thank you, brother. Let him return unto the Lord. It's time to return. If you've been up and down, in and out, flipping and flopping, it's time to return and stay. It's time to do what God would have you to do. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. All right, Romans, the 10th chapter. Usually this don't last as long. The devil's trying to fight me right here. Romans, the 10th chapter, talks about confession. After you get saved, it's good. Well, you've got to confess you're saved.
Romans 10, you want me to read it for you?
Yeah, I'll do. The ninth verse.
That, yeah. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen. Go on down a little further.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Then he goes on then in verse 13, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. Confession is made. The Lord wants us to get saved. And then he wants us to stand up and say, I am saved. There is something to defeating the devil when you admit that you've made a change. And you're going to have to stand up to your friends. Got saved in the fall of 1971. I got out of high school in May. Went to Guthrie the first time to that camp meeting in May of 71. And got saved in the fall of 71. And then I had a good friend of mine that we went to school for several years together. And Wally, he went off to the military, went to boot camp. Well, 6 months later, he come home. He decided to look this boy up. He looked me up. And we were talking and visiting, and so we were telling, and he said, well, Carl, he said, we need to get together and go out on a night on the town. And I said, Wally, I don't know if I told him I'd never done that, but that's something I'd never done. Mom and Daddy taught me against that stuff, and I'd never done it. I said, you went off to the military, and I've gotten saved. I've gotten I'm changed. I don't do that kind of stuff. Never did do it. But I sure ain't going to do it now. I had to make a confession of salvation. It is why the Lord wants us as a body of people to let people know who we are. You know, like Brother Ivan talking on the plane. Them two brothers had kindred spirits. They were saved and washed in the blood. And they were having the time of their life on a jet airliner, wherever you was at. And having a good time, praise God. The Lord wants us to say, I'm saved. Listen, when you get saved, confess it.
Yes.
Say, thank the Lord, I'm saved. You don't have, and that right there can bring a whole camp meeting on fire. Just somebody saying, praise God, the Lord has saved me. I'm going to tell you, I'm still rejoicing over Wesley. Praise God, 82 years old, found out he is 82, Brother Ivan. He's 82 years old, and he's gotten saved. Do you know the percentage of people getting that is almost zero? But he's got it, praise God. His son told him, I want you to meet me, and I want Mama to meet me in heaven, Daddy. And that got on Wesley's heart. He couldn't quit thinking about it. He thought it over, considered it, and he thought the best thing to do is make that come true. Praise God. Praise God. People were calling him, texting him. And he was telling them, the Lord has done something. Thank the Lord. Glad you was with him there, brother. Thank the Lord. Confession is made. All right. Revelation, the last chapter, and I'll quit. 22. And 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely.
Yes.
Now this is for everybody. Whosoever will. Used to it was the Jews. But bless God, Jesus opened this up to the Gentiles and Jews. Every race, man, woman, boy, girl, no matter what it was. He dealt with Peter over there and let him go, listen, this is for everybody. Not only salvation, but sanctification, the kingdom of God. Anybody that's willing to confess, anybody that's willing to forsake, anybody that's willing to humble can have it all, praise God. The Lord wants to give you something this morning. And most of you, some of you know I like a place in Oklahoma City called Cattleman Steakhouse. They have by far the best steak I've eaten anywhere in the country from coast to coast. And today, I know of a man by the name of Jesus Christ that's got a steak for you this morning at Beach Cabin. Praise God, he's got a dining table full this morning, and he wants to bless you. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to be victorious. Whatever your need be this morning, I beg you to come and get it. Whosoever will. He that's a thirst, the bride, the church, everybody's saying come. Like even over there, she's going like this.
Yes,
she's still going like that, so to speak. She was in radiant white. You can have on the white robe of righteousness this morning. Let's stand, have a number. I appreciate your time and attention. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home, don't you?